Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of encouraging notes from practice today as the Texans are gearing up for their matchup versus the Jaguars on Sunday. Both Will Anderson Jr., Denico Autry, and then also Nick Chubb. So all three of them have returned to practice today after being listed as DNPs for practice yesterday. Encouraging things to see.
Very much so.
Also encouraging is when we get an opportunity to talk to someone like this on the phone line. We turn to the phone line now. It is CBS Sports. It's Pete Prisco. Pete, how you doing, brother?
Good. What's up, guys? How are you?
And hey, man.
Doing quite well. Well, I'd be lying. That's lying. I'm a little bit hesitant about this team right now, this Texas team, as I'm sure that you might understand. Even going into a game against a known opponent in the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'd like to ask you about the Jags, in particular their quarterback, because it's been a number of years at this point with Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson. And can I ask you the simple question of, do we know if Trevor Lawrence is good yet?
No, you don't. And that's part of the problem. I mean, look, there's been many reasons that have held him back. You can go back to injuries. You can go back to playing for Urban Meyer will send anybody back 2 years. That was a disaster when he was a rookie. You look at the systems that changed. I thought the offense last year was poorly designed and it didn't work with him. And then he got hurt. And so I think combine it all. And this was the year he was supposed to have his breakout year and it hadn't happened. You know, Liam Cohn is supposed to, fix the quarterback. And they've done a lot of good things with the quarterback. And he hasn't been awful, but he hasn't taken the next step. And there have been problems. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of pre-snap penalties. You know, a lot of the time Travis Hunter didn't know where to line up, and he's learning too much of the offense. They've had led the league in drops by far at wide receiver, so it's hard to get into a rhythm. But he continues to make bonehead decisions like he did last week against the Raiders when he was picked in the end zone. So has he taken the next step? No. Do we know how good he is? No. I always say this. I say he's not one of the top quarterbacks, and he's not one of the bottom 10 quarterbacks. He just is.
Yeah. Well, with that as the backdrop, Pete, the next logical question is, are the Jaguars for real? Are what we see or what is what we're seeing legitimate, and are they going to make some noise?
Well, when they run the ball on offense, they're pretty good. And, you know, they did run the ball in the second half against the Texans the last time they played them. And so I think that's the key. And you saw that last week. Even in overtime, when they got the ball, they ran it 7 straight plays to go get the touchdown that ended up being the game-winning touchdown. It's hard to evaluate this team in large part because, like everybody else in the league, the injuries have just been crippling. Mm-hmm. And, you take a look at the injuries for this game and – you mentioned the guys coming back for the Texans today, but, Stroud's not playing. Petrie's probably not going to play, right? I mean, he's got a concussion. Isn't Titus Howard in the concussion protocol too?
Yes.
I mean, those guys, it's hard to work back in a week to play. You've had a bunch of other injuries as well. I mean, look, you go back to Joe Mixon. Let's start there. The wide receiver position. And so I think when you look at it, the injuries have decimated the Texans, but the injuries have decimated the Jaguars. You know, you're talking about Brenton Strange, who's their best blocking tight end and was becoming a legitimate threat in the pass game, gone for the last 4 weeks. Travis Hunter, not there. Brian Thomas Jr. is dealing with an ankle sprain. The left guard, Ezra Cleveland, is probably not going to play. You go to the defensive side of the ball, and Trayvon Walker's playing with a club on his hand that he can barely even grab anybody, and he hasn't played that well. Devin Lloyd hasn't played the last couple weeks. You lose the safety, Murray in the back end. And so they've had so many injuries just when it looks like they're going to get going. And so I think this league has become more of a survival test than it has become winning games nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and that's one of those things we've talked about here on this program, especially as it relates to the possibility of adding an 18th game. So don't get us started there with that. But I'm glad you brought up Ezra Cleveland, because this has been an offensive line that has helped contribute to a really good run game for the Jags. How load-bearing is Ezra Cleveland and what they do?
Well, he was good for the beginning part of the season, and last week he struggled. And actually, when he went out, Cole Van Landen, who went in, actually played better. Mm-hmm. Cleveland went into this season with his job on the line, and he was, you know, he came out, he responded, played well early in the season, but kind of, you know, last week he kind of tailed off a little bit. So I don't think there's much of a drop off with him and Van Landen as people would think. In fact, some people think Van Landen should be in the lineup. So I think they can get around that. The problem is the left tackle's been a problem at times. He's been an issue. Walker Little has struggled. The right guard, McCary's been banged up. He's fought through it, and he actually played pretty good last week. But you mentioned it. Their offensive line, the coach deserves a great job because there's, you know, 3/5 of that line is back, and those guys have all played better, particularly Anton Harrison at right tackle.
What about the head coach? I'm just going to admit it freely. You know, I was predisposed to not want to believe in Liam Cohen. I don't know why. Maybe it was the Duvall thing or whatever. What are you seeing there? And then one step above with Gladstone.
You know, when you hire a guy as a head coach and he comes from one side of the ball, you automatically wonder, okay, can he handle big picture? Because you know he can call plays, and it works that way all the time. A defensive coordinator can call defensive plays, an offensive coordinator can call offensive plays. That's why they get hired. But how do you handle a room? How do you handle things when they go bad? And I think he's done a great job with that. I didn't know him very well. I've gotten to know him. I really like him. I think he's candid. He answers your questions. He's the players respond to him. He gets it. And he's a really good play caller. And so I think he's answered those questions. I thought going into last week was a telling week for them because you lost back-to-back games, and then you go out on the road against a bad team. Can you respond with all the injuries you've had and find a way to win that game? And they did. Now, did they get lucky at the end? Probably a little bit because the guy was wide open in the end zone for the two-point conversion, and the defensive lineman happened to bat it down. But you still found a way to win. And like one of the guys in their building told me, before the season, if you would have said we were 5-3 with victories on the road against San Francisco and home against Kansas City, would you have taken that? And the answer to that question is yes. Mm-hmm. So I think he's done a great job. And Gladstone, wheeler dealer. I mean, he gets it. He understands that you build through, getting good players that believe in your system on the roster. And I think he's going to do a good job. Now, some people will question Travis Hunter trade. I think that's still to be determined. Because he was just getting it going on offense, and quite frankly, if he hadn't hurt his knee last week in practice, he was going to play both. You know, they had to kind of ease him into that. He was going to be a full-time starter at both, I think, going into last week.
We're talking to Pete Prisco of CBS right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. I want to come back to this because I've got listeners texting in saying, hey, shout out to Pete for holding it down and calling the Texans to win against the Broncos this past week. I did want to ask you about that. What are you seeing in the Texans that gave you the confidence to make that pick this past week?
I love the defense. I mean, the defense is nasty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get after it. And when you can rush the quarterback and play coverage on the back end, it makes it really tough on an offense, provided they don't run the football on you. And I think that's why you look at that defense across the board. Yeah, I always look for teams that have young players who are ascending. And when you have young players who are ascending, and you look, you know, Will Anderson ascending, Stingley ascending, Petrie, I still think he is, you know, Lassiter. And those are the kind of defenses you mix in some veterans and they're going to be good in terms of what they do defensively. So that's why I picked them last week. I thought they would limit the Broncos offensively. By the way, Bo Nix has struggled other than in the fourth quarter. So it's kind of why I picked them last week. And I thought there were some good things you saw from the offense before Stroud went out of the game. So progress is being made on the offensive side of the ball.
Yes, but you were just talking about, you know, handling the room and offensive coach, defensive coach, obviously D'Amico on the defensive side. Man, we've had some discussions about the offense on this show. And to me, it just keeps going back to what they did on the offensive line. I mean, I'm just curious on your perspective from that, because it's been critical for them.
They've been a little bit better, though. Even you guys would agree with that, right?
Sure.
The last couple, yeah, they've been better. I mean, so there's going to be some growth steps with Ursary, and he's a pretty good player. But you throw him in there right away, and that's asking a lot of a rookie tackle. But, yeah, I think when they went out and spent their money in free agency and came away thinking they were a better offensive line, I didn't necessarily agree with that. And by the way, one of the guys that's actually surprised me is Ed Ingram. I thought he'd be the worst. Yeah, I thought he'd be the worst guy in the line because he was bad. And
he was just throw me under the bus here, huh?
I mean, he was bad in Minnesota. He wasn't a good player. Mm-hmm. And he's been much better in that system than he was in Minnesota. So kudos to him. But, you know, the center gets overwhelmed at times. He's not a big guy, and I think he has problems. And then that rotation that they do at left guard, I don't get that. That makes no sense to me. Pick one and play one. If you don't like Tomlinson, don't play him. But, you know, they paid him a little bit. So I just think when you look at it, I thought that they were awful on the offensive line last year, and they didn't get significantly better, and that's a problem for C.J. Stroud.
So wait, can I ask you, because you made mention and we've talked about how the offensive line has at least been not horrible this season. From your perspective, 30,000-foot view, what is then the issue with where this offense is? Because they're clearly not scoring points.
Well, I think they need to play Woody Marks, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think he gives you pop. You know, Nick Chubb is, 4-3, 4-3, 3-2, 4, you know. You're not getting any pop out of that. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a knee that gets shredded the way it did and you try and come back from that a second time, it's tough. You're not the same guy. And he was. So I think Marks gives him, you know, Marks isn't great in pass protection. That's part of the problem. So I think that's, although he's getting better at it, I thought he was pretty good at it last week. I'd play Marks, get some more pop in the run game. And you know, those young receivers started flashing little bits and pieces. You know, the problem is there's no real burner. You know, when you look at it, where's the burner?
Yeah.
And teams play him in a box, and so that's easy to defend when you play him in a box.
Definitely want to get your perspective. Pete Prisco joining us here from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. I'm always plugged into your power rankings. I want to get your perspective specifically on the AFC at large, and even more specifically the Indianapolis Colts. I asked if you thought the Jaguars were real. I'm going to ask you the same thing about the Colts.
I don't think we know on either one, by the way. And here's why. If you look at the two schedules of Jacksonville and Indianapolis going down the stretch, one has a really easy schedule, you know, based on the numbers, and the other one's brutal. And you base that on the Colts. I mean, they have a tough schedule. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have a hard time navigating through that. And here's the other thing: they play each other twice, and they haven't won in Jacksonville since God knows when, so they're going to have a problem there no matter how good they think they are. So I have my reservations, and I didn't like the move they made, by the way. I think that reeked of desperation. You don't trade two first-round picks for a corner who hadn't played up to expectations. I just thought that felt real desperate on their part. So, and once again, in the back of everybody's mind, I don't care who you are, even probably inside that building, at some point they're all sitting there saying, when does Daniel Jones become Daniel Jones again? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's what you think. And so I think there's concerns about the Colts, no doubt.
I find that interesting because I feel like if that was the question that you're asking, when does Daniel Jones turn into a pumpkin? I feel like giving up two first-round picks in the next couple of years doesn't help you in that equation at all.
No, which means that they believe in him and that they think that they're going to extend him and he's going to be their quarterback. You're absolutely right. They just sent that message out loud and clear. But I'm talking about for the most part. And by the way, you know when the last time the Colts won the division was? When Andrew Luck was there.
Yeah.
Every team in the division has won it twice since the Colts have won it. And so I think, you know, you talk about desperation. Chris Ballard has to win. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. If he doesn't win that division and get to the postseason, I think he's out.
So are we going to mess around and see Chiefs-Eagles again? Chiefs-Seahawks? Are the Chiefs just going to be there ultimately?
They're going to have to go the wild card route, I think. I mean, they better pick it up and get going. I mean, to answer your question, I think they can get there. I think Buffalo's for real, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen the best of the Bills. They're getting guys back on defense. You saw it last week. Cole Bishop was really good. He missed time this year. They're getting guys back on that side of the ball. Now, there are some injuries, Ed Oliver being one of them, that really hurts them, but they might get him back for the playoffs. You never know. And then, you know, you look at the rest of the AFC. I think it's the Chiefs, the Bills. I think those are the two teams. You're spot on with that. But you go to the NFC, and I think anybody can win in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles-Packers game this week will be interesting because what happened to the Packers last week? Classic young team look ahead. They go to Pittsburgh, blow out their former quarterback, look great, start reading their press clippings, come home, playing a bad team. Then you got the Eagles on a Monday night. What do? Next thing you know, you look up and you're in a game and you can't get out from underneath it. We've seen many a team do that. They did it. So now it's time to respond. Play good against a good team, win that, then you can prove to people that you're legitimate. But the Eagles are. I think the Packers will be. I think the Seahawks, you know, it's funny you mentioned them. Somebody in the league told me the other day they think the Seahawks might end up being the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. With that defense, that coach done a nice job, and that quarterback, 9.6 per pass play, leads the league. It's just nasty how they throw, you know, bombs down the field, more 40-yard pass plays than anybody in the league. So I think – but the Rams are there too. I think the NFC is pretty wide open.
Hey, Pete, before we let you go, I have a couple that I want to get in relatively quickly here. You mentioned the trade deadline. It was pretty active this year compared to other years. Do you have a feeling as to why that was? Does that feel like that's just unique, or is there something underlying there?
We're getting more and more to that. You see it building every year, more and more activity, in large part, a couple of reasons. One, desperation. I think that has something to do with it, to win. And, you know, guys look around, my job might be on the line, I got to do something. Two, teams that have cap hell and stink want to get rid of dead weight and, you know, send it packing. If you're not going to have the guy, why not get something back for it? And when you're trying to rebuild, those draft picks are very meaningful. I'd rather have cheap draft pick labor than an expensive guy if you can draft the right guy. And that's mm-hmm. the key to it. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the pressure to win, and the fact that when we just talked about it, is there really dominant teams in the league right now? And the answer to that question is no. So if you're kind of close, why not make a deal? You know, if you think you can make a playoff push, why not make a deal? And like Jacksonville, they're desperate for a wide receiver. They're 5-3. Their schedule is favorable down the stretch. If they won five of their last, nine games, all of a sudden you look at it and you go, they could be in the playoffs at 10 wins. So why not go get a wide receiver? So mm-hmm. I think that's where you're at with these teams now.
And finally, before we let you go, it's a question that here in Houston, people are kind of split on. Do you believe the Texans still have a path to the playoffs this year?
I think the schedule's too tough. Mm-hmm. I really, I said that a couple weeks ago. And if everybody had been around and the line had played a little bit better early in the season, I think, yeah, they could have. But I look at that schedule and I'm like, wow, it's just brutal across the board. I mean, I just, you know, you play that first place schedule and it comes back and it bites you into behind at some point, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, what do they have left? They have
Chiefs, Bills.
Tennessee, the next two, they can win this week and should win at Tennessee. Bills, at Colts, at Chiefs. I mean, that's a 3-game stretch right there. If you better get at least one of those, you're done.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, joining us here. We greatly appreciate you giving us some of your time, Pete.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, joining us. Schedule just too tough, he says.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't think very many people disagree. Yeah. And especially with the way that they're going. If they showed us a different version of the Texans, maybe you could get into it. But as of right now, it looks a little dicey. We'll see what they show us on the 9th, Sunday at noon, right here on Sports Radio 610. You'll be able to hear that. All right, coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, how about a little Texans practice update before we get to the concussions? The confessions.
Man, your head is in the...
That was very Freudian.
Well, to be fair, at least three concussions that we're looking at right now.
That was very Freudian. But a little update here. You want the good news or bad news first?
Go ahead and hit me with the bad news first.
Well, there's more bad news than good news.
Oh,
get the good news out the way.
No,
go ahead and get the good news out the way. Yeah.
Nick Chubb has returned to practice for the Texans. Will Anderson has returned to practice for the Texans.
Yes.
That's the good news.
There's one more, isn't there?
Is there another one?
There was one more that had returned to practice. Here, let me get it for you. Go ahead.
Tytus Howard and right tackle Tytus Howard, right guard Ed Ingram are not present at the portion of practice open to the media. Tight end Harrison Bryant at practice but observing, not practicing. Also, Luke Lachey, who is another one tight end that could be called up, not practicing in the portion of practice. Running back Damian Pierce, not practicing during the open portion of practice. So,
but Nick Chubb's back, so everything's good, right?
Nick Chubb is back. I guess everything's good.
Danico Autry also at practice.
So he's at practice, as well. All right, confession. I don't know if there's always a number, is what I say. Like, would you do this for $1,000? No. Would you do it for $100,000? Yes, you know, there's always a number, you know.
Man,
there's always a number that you would do something for.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
That number right now would have to be really, really high for me to book a flight tomorrow.
Oh, really?
It would have to be.
What's going on tomorrow?
I don't know what that number is, but every major airport is reducing air travel, quote, meaningfully starting tomorrow because of the government shutdown. Obviously I'm a United guy, and I got a notice from United. Basically every major airport in the United States, 10 to 20% of their flights are going to be reduced starting tomorrow.
But why would that change from tomorrow?
Like, I don't know. I guess tomorrow's the reason that
not for that. Why would your opinion change? Because really they're just
because it's going to be a million times worse, I'm exaggerating, than now.
Oh, we're talking about safety. You're just talking about inconvenience of time.
Four or five hours.
Got you.
Just to get through security.
I'm sorry. I thought you were worried for your safety. You were just worried about your time. My bad.
Yeah, my safety. Whatever happens, happens.
He's like, if we fall in the sky, it's fine. But don't you dare have me waiting at the airport for 4 hours.
Don't make me wait for, because right now it's 3 hours in a lot of places. And they're going to reduce it even more. United, flat out on the text that I got, said, try to book another flight.
He said, don't even bother.
Like, get a backup.
Don't even come through.
Yeah. Dude, that's just to get to security.
Yeah. This is just the TSA line?
Yes. Just the line. And then everything else, you know, just everything else matters too.
So would you book a flight for $5,000? Like, if you get $5,000 if you book a flight tomorrow.
Yes.
I probably would. It also depends on where I'm going. Like, if say, hey, you're going to go to, you know, Omaha to cover a basketball game. I'd like,
brother,
nah,
you
I'm
are
out.
Being bougie right I, now,
I,
man.
I was like, the question you asked is crazy. I'll $5,000.
That's $1,000 an hour. So that's a good way to look at it.
Buddy, if it was just a flight over to San Antonio, I'd take that. What are you talking about? I got time.
Yeah. I got time.
Y'all act like y'all time is all that much value.
It's the frustration. I don't need that. I mean, it's just awful.
Bring a book.
Bring five books.
That's crazy.
Look, I wouldn't. But I mean, to me, I hate booking around holidays anyway because just the hassle.
Yeah.
I definitely ain't trying to book anything anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking money, if somebody said, hey, I'll give you $1,000.
Put up with it.
Yeah, I go on and do it. Let me get this money.
Yeah. Honestly, and maybe this is showing where I am just personally. If you get to 3 digits, I'll go ahead and take that. You pay me 3 digits to book a flight? I got you, dog.
All right, here go $200.
I'm not trying to be bougie.
Appreciate you.
I'm not going that far.
I'm not trying to be bougie. It would be at least four. A good four.
Four digits?
Yeah, good four.
Y'all wild bougie, man. I got to admit, I think that I might need to change my expectations for one Alperen Sengun.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys are my witness. I came out before the season started and said that I think Alperen Sengun, all NBA, lock it, right?
Yeah.
So this ain't me just riding the wave. I was already in a place where I thought this was going to be a good year for him. And he's already come out and looked good. And Danielle Lerner of the Houston Chronicle, writing a piece after, again, the Rockets have a fantastic game in Memphis. Josh Okogie was knocking down some
three pointers
as well.
Very good, yeah. We didn't mention him.
And in pursuant to that, Danielle Lerner wrote this little snippet from her piece, While Thompson, Şengün, that connection is the crux of the offense, Rockets chemistry is team-wide. Log into evidence the comment that Alperen Şengün made in the post-game locker room to Okogie, who drilled three consecutive three-pointers in the third quarter. Quote, Josh, I know when you're going to make the three or not. When you get the ball, you spin it in your hands to make it the right way. Alper Şengün is looking and seeing like, oh, I know that detail. I see when he's going to knock it. You know what that sounds like to me?
It sounds like he's trying a little too hard to me.
But here's the thing. Like, we've heard.
I knew you'd make that.
We've heard comments about, like, LeBron James passing the ball to his teammates and knowing exactly how they like the laces, so he passes it in such a way to help them make it. That sounds similar to that to Alper Şengün.
And similarly, it sounds like you're trying a little too hard. Nah, LeBron cannot figure that out.
I've heard this
a
number of times from dudes that play with him. Like,
can't do it. Can't do it.
I believe it. And it's to the point where I go, I might need to raise this bar for Alper Şengün to MVP caliber.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm at that place. He's playing at such a level where I might need to go, you know what? MVP shortlist is the expectation I have for Alper Şengün.
He's playing at a very
MVP shortlist.
Man, you are all in.
Should I not be?
Basically, everything you just said, I'm skeptical about.
Feel free. I'm glad that dynamic has changed. It feels like I'm usually the skeptical one, so I'm glad to be the optimistic one here.
This guy is saying that LeBron can throw a ball to you from, let's say, 15 feet away, 10 feet away, and the laces would land exactly how you want them.
Jason Williams used to do it all the time.
Are you freaking kidding me?
White Chocolate used to do it all the time. What do you mean?
He couldn't do it either. Nobody can do that.
People can do it. People do it. John Lopez, and I think Alper Şengün might be on the cusp of doing things similar. Mm-hmm. It feels like he might be in MVP territory.
Man, my brother need to stay off of Rockets Twitter, man. Goodness gracious.
I'm drinking the red Kool-Aid, dog. I'm drinking it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I hate to do this because I think this guy's a really nice guy, and he caused no trouble, no off the field. Just seemed like a really good guy, but Davis Mills is a buzzkill for me, man.
Is it his voice?
I think
it's fair to
say. It could be a part of it. It's not a thing where I hear his voice and I get mad, but I just think him being here in 20, just getting drafted and end up playing, and then the next year he end up being pretty much the face of the franchise. He was QB1. They gave him the keys to the car.
Yeah.
And just all of those memories just go back to me whenever I hear him talk now, man.
I
hate that. He's a good guy. I think he just is he married now? I think he got engaged or married or something like that. Seemed like a really nice guy, but just hearing him at the press conference, it was just a buzzkill, man.
It wasn't my confession, but I'm kind of there with you in a little bit. And I do think his voice, it just sounds it like you don't think dog. You know, you don't think that's a dog.
Or or honestly, remember a couple of years when Case Keenum ended up starting over him?
Yeah.
They went with Case Keenum. Hearing Case Keenum at the podium, it was just like, okay, it's Case Keenum.
Yeah.
It's, you might not think you're going to win the game, but it's like, okay, Case, he got a little something, but just Davis Mills, it was just like a buzzkill. It kind of got me worried about the game a little bit.
So you're telling me if you were trying to find the dog equivalent of Davis Mills, that he'd be Droopy Dog? Is that what you're telling me?
He'd be Droopy. That's a good one. See, you redeemed yourself. I got one more quick one because it's a public service. They got Debbie the Texan.
They got Debbie the Texan. Like, hacked?
Yeah. I saw that.
And now McClain. Is McClain have his back yet?
I don't think so. But
last time I checked,
he got some serious people on the job trying to get his account back.
And then I saw it's a direct message that you get. And I've gotten this message where this is the public service part, where it's a friend of yours on Twitter or someone you follow or whatever. And I've gotten this from, I forget who, It says, can you vote for me to co-host a podcast event by Spotify and Google?
That's the exact same one, yeah.
I really appreciate your vote. It only takes a second. And it's going to be someone you know.
I got that from McClain. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? Yeah.
It's going to be from someone you know. So, just so you guys know.
Don't click any links.
Do not click that link.
Yeah.
Debbie the Texan apparently did.
Oh, man.
Hers is Bitcoin and just completely hacked.
She got a new car.
Yeah, she got a new car.
From Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sucks, man. Yeah. That's the worst feeling ever. Just getting hacked like that, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's rough. All right, those are your lunchtime confessions here in Loop on Sports Radio 60. Somebody said, "Wait a minute, do NBA balls have laces?" I meant like ribs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Come on now, you understand what I'm talking about. somebody said opening Twitter messages in the first place is crazy work. Oh wow, okay. You just don't be talking to people, huh?
Hey, That's how I got Prisco, because I lost his number in my phone.
There you go.
So you do open them for reasons sometimes. Yeah.
Because if he didn't, we wouldn't have had that fun segment with people. Yeah. All right. You're in the Loop. Coming up next, let's do our Thursday staple around this time. Let's do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. Play along, and we'll do that next. All right. Let's do a little buy or sell. You hear the music. That's what it sounds like when we do some buy or sell. On a Thursday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610, are you buying with these various folks in sports trying to sell you, John Lopez?
All right. We start locally as we like to do. So, Coach's Show, this was, I think, Monday was the Coach's Show.
Correct.
D'Amico Ryans.
And you can hear that on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, you can.
That's right.
D'Amico Ryans was asked by Mark and John about kind of what we've been talking about. Some of the young guys not getting as, what was it? Jalen Noel only had 11 snaps. Christian Kirk had 41, something like that. He was asked about that, and this is what he said. We want to see the young guys get the ball. Are you buying that?
Selling it. I mean, the logical part of me says, then what is stopping you, right? Because ain't nobody else in here running nothing around here. D'Amico does a great job of reminding us that it's his call and it's his shot. Well, then if you want to see it, who stop you from making it happen?
Yeah.
So as much as I understand the sentiment, clearly the understanding is there because we have that same understanding on the outside looking in. We also would like to see that. It seems like it would make sense that you would want to see that, except what you're saying you want and what's actually happening are at an impasse. And so I can't believe that you also have that desire if you're not making it happen.
Yeah. Go ahead, Figgy.
Yeah. I'm kind of selling that too, man. I think, I mean, they could just put the players out there if they want to see them play or have more plays and all that stuff. They're not, though.
Yeah. I'm with you both. This is the head coach saying we want to see the young guys get the ball more. And Jalen Noel had 11 snaps. He's on the headset. He's in the room. He can say, hey, he does say run the ball here. You know, he didn't call plays. I want to see this or whatever. I want to see Jalen Noel on the field. It's in his control.
And one of the things that D'Amico also said during the coach's show that I found to be interesting was he talked about the circumstances of going into different rooms as, getting ready for game plan and like, hey, this is something that defense does. Have we thought about this? I think that you can also, as the head coach, unless I'm wrong, like unless there are limitations on the head coach in this way, you can go and say, hey, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Jalen Noel's out here cooking. I feel like we should use him more, don't you? Yes, we're in agreement. All right, let's do that, right? Like, I think that is well within your purview.
Yeah.
And maybe he's saying that insofar as we have seen the light this week and now we are going to do that.
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
However, if I'm to use the recent history, it does not seem like that's the case unless you're forced into that circle.
Exactly. All right, you buying or selling this? Let's go ahead and play the audio question and answer.
Why would he not call plays?
That was the answer.
What was the question, John Lopez?
The question was, is Nick Caley still going to call plays this week?
Why would he not call plays?
I'm going to start this one.
He said, nah, let me do this.
No, I want to start this one because you might not know what the buy or sell is.
Okay.
I think what the buy or sell is here for me anyway is he can't really believe that it's not a question, right? Because basically saying, why would he not call plays? He's basically saying, like, obviously, I can't buy this that he doesn't think it's an option or that he's even considered it. So I'm selling.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, D'Amico Ryans has had, he's established a particular relationship with the media, and I don't mean that to be like the heaviest portions of that, mm-hmm. where, okay, if something like that's happening, we're probably going to need to ask him. Like, he's not going to be the Sean McVay that steps up to the microphone and goes, hey, guys, these are all the things that are happening now. Here are your, now your chance to ask
yeah,
questions.
Yeah.
He's largely going to let the mm-hmm. media members that attend the press conferences ask him questions, and then he will answer those mm-hmm. To whatever degree of openness that he wants to. And this feels like one of those circumstances where clearly we have those questions. I think the tone is kind of interesting because, yeah, I feel like we've already, not only what you're coming from of, you could see the logical conclusion yeah. that people would draw, like, are you asking those questions? But also, these questions have been asked to you before when it comes yes. to whether or not Nick Cannon. So I understand the frustration that mm-hmm. exhibits within that. But yeah, man, the idea of like, why wouldn't he? Yes, you have not said anything, but it's not like you would tell us if you weren't straight up necessarily either.
Yeah, so what's the buy or sell?
The fact that he hasn't, it sounds as if he hadn't even considered it. And I'm okay. like, I'm selling that.
I'm kind of selling that too. I do think he probably answered it that way to kind of get it out the way. Like, mm-hmm. nah, this ain't about to be a conversation or a think piece or mm-hmm. y'all media folks ain't about to write nothing and all yeah. that stuff. I think he just kind of
outside noise.
Yeah.
yeah.
So he tried to do that reverse psychology, whereas. Mm. Oh, why would, I mean, why is this even a question?
Yeah, what are you crazy? What
a vote of confidence.
What are you,
just,
crazy?
I get the frustration. Like, yeah. I get it. And D'Amico expresses a little bit more of that, especially this year with yeah. in these settings. I get
that's
it.
A silly question yeah. for y'all to ask.
Come on.
What's the
Bryce Harper? That's a clown question, bro.
Yeah. Davis Mills spoke yesterday as well, and he said, quote, this offense is trying to find our identity.
I buy that. Because as of right now, I ain't been able to see the identity. I thought that was very interesting. I'm yes. glad that you mentioned this here because I kind of think I had it starred, but mm-hmm. obviously through the course of our conversation, we mm-hmm. haven't gotten there yet. Yeah, no, I found that to be deeply interesting and a kind of a breath of fresh air to some degree and maybe things that we had.
Yeah, contrary to what D'Amico had been saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair, D'Amico had been kind of giving you indications
ball.
that they didn't yeah. have an identity or that they have not really settled on it. He just hadn't, you know, said that explicitly. Mm-hmm. This is somebody saying it explicitly. So yeah. As much as you're like, hey, I'm not getting the feels from listening to Davis Mills talk, I do appreciate somebody over there going like, yeah, we're still figuring this thing out.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I mm-hmm. think he's right. He's in that offensive room. So I think that's probably the conversation throughout the whole locker room, just trying to find that identity. Like, are you a running team?
Yeah.
Are you, I mean, what are you?
What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm buying it as well. All right, this was an interesting one to me. According to, I forget who reported it. Rachel Nichols talked about it on her show, but I forget exactly who reported it, that the Tennessee Titans did not, they were actually talking about trading Tony Pollard.
Rachel Nichols?
No, on a talk show. She said that was the most interesting. It was just on the talk show.
Yeah, I was like, Rachel Nichols, she's getting into the NFL space.
I saw was her talking about
you.
It.
Okay.
I don't know where the report came from.
Gotcha.
But there is a report out there that the Titans did not want to trade Tony Pollard. They were having discussions with the Patriots about trading Tony Pollard, and they didn't want to trade him ultimately because Amy Adams Strunk, yes, that one, was still holding a grudge against Mike Vrabel. Are you buying that? That she nixed the trade because spite?
I'm 100% buying that.
Yeah.
She is the pettiest person ever. No, I'm 100% buying that. That sound like it's right up her alley. The same person that want to wear the Oilers throwbacks mm-hmm. when they play the Houston Texans.
Yeah,
that sound about right to me.
Figgy laid it out. Also, you mean to tell me that Amy Adams Strunk will harm her team by making bad decisions yeah. at times? I'm shocked.
Shocked, I say.
Shocked and appalled, in fact. No, yeah, this sounds like something that is within the realm of possibility. What's funny is, I don't even know if it's actually true, but just the fact that it's within the realm of plausibility mm-hmm. looks real, real bad for your ownership.
Yeah, my reaction was, wait a minute, she's spiteful? Go figure.
Can we talk about the actual situation, though, of not wanting to trade?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That's pathetic
right there, man.
That's not good for business.
Yes.
That's a running back.
Yeah.
Right. That's one of those positions that we go like, you know, the running backs aren't valuable. I'm not actually making a mm-hmm. claim there, but that's kind of the conversation that's had there, right? The one of the shorter mm-hmm. lifespans of a position in the league, and you've already sold this thing. You're selling this thing off for parts.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not trade the running back? I understand you don't
and
want
you can
the
get
Patriots.
A good third rounder for that.
Plus, how much you think you're spiting them? They're already 7-2
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this
I'll
is not
you.
This is not good for business, man.
No, it is.
Like, why
awful.
Would trade Tony Pollard, get something, and try and get yourself the
at this
good
point?
Soon.
At this point, you're going off of emotion. You running this team off of
Again,
straight up emotion.
Really? Amy Adams drunk going
like,
off of emotion?
Shout out to her doing that, right? Not giving that front office more assets to maybe get the Titans to be good again. Because that think about it. If the Titans could actually find their way to being better relatively soon,
yeah.
this division goes from, oh, look at the AFC South being terrible to, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And right?
This, yeah. And this the Patriots, man. It'd be one thing if she was didn't want to trade them to Houston or
sure,
something
right.
like that.
It's just way over there.
Oh, just the freaking Patriots,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. All right, are you buying or selling this? I got a couple more for you here. Jonathan Gannon said that Jacoby Brissett would start even if Kyler Murray were healthy. Now, just as a note, Kyler Murray then went on the IR.
That's right.
So that's why I thought it was a good buy or sell question.
I actually buy this because it feels like they might be, or we largely might be running to the end of the Kyler Murray era as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
of that team. And I think that because you've seen what you've seen from Jacoby Brissett, we talked about this earlier in the week. You saw, I think it was Tuesday, you saw him be able to activate your best players. Junior over there mm-hmm. actually getting involved in the offense. The offense looks viable. And then, you know, the contract situation with Kyler, like they went ahead and paid him and it has not been fruitful for them. I think that part of this IR stint, like now I'm not saying that they're being entirely nefarious. I think there's actually an injury, but I think part of this is also ain't no need to play with it here and get injuries that complicate this a little further. I think that they're starting to take their mindsets towards we're moving away from Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I feel like they probably seen a different type of energy mm-hmm. once Jacoby Brissett started that game.
Yeah.
And it was no way you can even, I mean, if he was just 100% healthy,
right.
then maybe he probably wouldn't start again, but just a little tiny injury, just mm-hmm. a little. I think there's no way you can just not put Jacoby Brissett back in there, especially the way they played, too.
All right, I'm buying it, too. Ja Morant, we saw him yesterday. He was asked about his relationship with the Grizzlies. Quote, if I didn't have a good relationship with them, I wouldn't talk to them at all.
I'm buying that he thinks that. I'm selling that he knows what a good relationship is because I've got to be honest. Ja Morant, I don't trust your judgment, big dog. And I feel like you should understand why that's the case. Like, yeah. I don't believe that you have a good understanding of what a good relationship is right mm-hmm. this moment. Like, he's clearly been peeved at what this organization, or at least with the coaches, and maybe that's the way he views it. He's like, the front office ain't got no problems with me, that coach, though.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's how it works for him, but ultimately, all this looks bad for Ja in this moment. Organization, coaching, and just his performance on the court.
Yeah, I'm selling it, man. It's a bad relationship going on, and maybe he don't have an issue with the front office, but nah, it's hard for me to sit there and believe him when he say, "Oh no, I ain't got no bad relationship with them."
Yeah, especially when all the other quotes were like, "Ask them." Yeah, I'm selling it too. One more quickie here: Aaron Glenn on Breece Hall. Reportedly wanting to be traded, but not being traded ultimately. Quote, I don't know what you're talking about. Wait, he wanted to be traded? I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm selling that because Aaron Glenn, you might be one of them dudes that isn't on Twitter. I guarantee you somebody in that building showed it to you.
Yeah.
We saw them tweets. I'm sure they got around to you.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
I
buy the sentiment, though, or just like this as a game plan.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if this would be my perfect game plan that I go for, but I don't know what answer that he could have given that would help the situation.
True.
So I feel like he's just like, no comment.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of, no comment, because this is not going to help either way, whatever I say here.
I'm buying this. I think he's going very old school.
I
don't know what y'all talking
about.
Yes, he's that neighbor that see all the drama going on in the streets. And when somebody knocks, I don't know what they doing over there.
I didn't see anything.
I ain't see anything. All I know, I'm focused on these players in this locker room right now. I don't know none of that.
He subscribes to the gospel of mind your business.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I'm selling, though. I'm selling.
There you go. All right, a little buy or sell for you here on a Thursday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, we're still gearing up for Texans Jaguars that'll be played at NRG on Sunday, and We need to talk about the big thing. The big man said it out loud. CJ Stroud will not be going for this game. It's Davis Mills time. Do you have belief? Because one of the people on the microphone right now seemingly does. We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.